Ryan Rashog from TSN joins us. Shogger, what's happening?
Counselor Deanna Troi.
Was that the brunette?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. She had a place in my. Remember we were talking about Chris Isaac and Wicked Game?
Yeah.
Similar place in my life and in my heart for Counselor Deanna Troi.
Oh, okay.
And the Wicked Game video. Nice.
Well, they did always wear they on Star Trek. Weren't they always wearing like the really form-fitting shirts? But it wasn't.
Yeah.
So it always left a lot to the imagination, which I find at times very sexy.
Well, do you know what it is? You know what it was, and we just didn't know until 25 years later. They were wearing Lululemon. That's what the Star Trek females were wearing on the Next Generation. Lululemon. And then we all sort of advanced into it, and now all guys everywhere are all thankful for Lululemon existing. But that's what they were wearing back in the day. Deanna Troi was crushing the Lululemon sweatpants.
Really?
And it's like a Lululemon onesie.
Sure, yeah. I do remember that. Nice. Nice. A few things to get to. Let's start with the Oilers.
Sure.
And when do you think like the real evaluations are going to start here for these players? Like, I know that they're saying, well, we evaluate every day, but you know what? Like, when is it make or break time for that fourth line right wing spot and the defense job that's up for grabs?
Well, I think a couple of different things. For different players, the true evaluations probably start at different times. And I think that the kind of make or break evaluations that you're talking about, a guy's real opportunity to either pick the ball up or drop it. So for Draisaitl, it's already well underway, right? For Darnell Nurse, it's already well underway. For Keith Ali, they're probably hoping that he's working some wrinkles out and they won't get real serious about, gee, is he good enough to be on our team until they probably close into the next few exhibition games and start to narrow it down a little bit. So for veteran guys, veteran bubble guys, they're probably given the benefit of the doubt for a few games. For that forward position, I would say that the real legitimate analysis is already underway. Whether it's, Pakarainen or whether it's Pitlick or whether it's Lander, I'd say they're already studying real hard on what those guys are bringing. So for different positions, I think they probably get serious about it at different times, but some of it's well underway already, I think.
Do you think there'll be a surprise this season when the final roster is done?
No, I don't think so. I think that so seldom do they ever hit the regular season without any injuries anyways.
Mm-hmm.
There's not really any surprises because there's always usually a guy or two hurt. So maybe it's kind of surprising that such and such ends up starting the year with the team, but it's because of an injury and all this drama. It builds up to, oh, here's the roster deadline, and then, okay, well, they IR'd this guy and this guy. It never has the drama that we think where it's who got cut. We know what the team is going to look like, and I think that really the drama lies in one spot up front, maybe two, and one spot on the blue line. But I think that beyond that, I mean, and really what will be surprising, it'll be a surprise to me if Nurse is in the opening night lineup, and it'll be a surprise to me if somebody other than Lander or probably Pitlick are in that opening night lineup. And then that means to me that'll say that somebody beat somebody out for a spot.
Okay, that's fair. Pitlick, let's say he doesn't make it. Do you think he clears waivers?
Good question. It's so hard to tell, and it could change year to year. I mean, if he required waivers last year, maybe he wouldn't have, but then he will this year. It just depends on who needs what. And at the start of the year, it's tough because teams are still waiting for their own group to take shape, you know? So I don't know. I honestly don't know if he'd clear waivers or not. I think he's still young enough, and there were probably a number of teams around the league that had him somewhere in their first round. Because if you recall, he was a 31 pick. Well, when you get to that range, you might have been 26 on another team's list or 25 on another team's list. So, I mean, he was a high pick, and he hasn't had a huge NHL opportunity yet. So I think a team would probably be – it wouldn't be crazy to take a flyer on him.
No, I don't think so. 22 years of age, and where you could make the argument if you wanted it as an opposing GM that injuries, not so much talent – have been the thing that's holding him back right now, right? Like, I firmly believe that if he doesn't get injured in that game against Phoenix last season, he's not going back. You know, he's probably playing 25 or 30 games and, you know, maybe comes into camp this year as a guy who looks much more as a solid lock to be the fourth line winger.
Yeah, no, I totally agree, because he played the best hockey that I've ever seen him play in those games where he was up with the Oilers just recently. Like, he was a different player. It was like life in the minor leagues had just kind of had – he'd struggled in the minors, and he'd struggled as a pro, and he finally got his taste of the NHL, and it was you could just tell how much he wanted it. And every game he was doing all the things that he needed to do. So – that was his best hockey, for sure. And the injury just came at the worst time, because the team needed him at that point, too. He was playing a style of play they desperately needed. So if I were the Oilers, I probably wouldn't risk losing him on waivers. I would try to find a way to keep him around for the start of the season and see if he can bring that again.
There's thankfully, you know what, I haven't had one tweet or text from any Oilers fan. Usually when a player gets put on waivers, people are like, hey, should the Oilers grab him? Maybe it's a sign that even fans think, you know what, not every player will help the Oilers anymore. They're not that bad. Thus, Markstrom, no one talking about him. He's obviously not a fit in Edmonton. Do you think, which teams do you think would even have an interest in him?
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, we're talking the 10th. Which Markstrom are you talking about?
Jakob, the goaltender.
Yeah, the tender. Yeah, the big, tall tender. Of course he wouldn't be a fit here. Yeah, he's like 6'6". He's a monster, right?
Yeah, but not...
He's a Panthers draft pick. I don't know. I mean, Buffalo's... You think about the teams around the league that are weakest in net that maybe would want to give the guy a try. But, I mean, Buffalo is... I think they're fairly set with the two guys they want to give a look at. I don't know. That's the problem, is most teams are going to be already have their situation
what about
looked
the,
out for.
What if you're the Winnipeg Jets, and yeah, right now you've got Hutchinson, who has 3 games of NHL experience and only 24 AHL games, would you look at him?
Yeah, maybe. I mean, like, Markstrom hasn't – it hasn't run its course with this guy yet. He's still pretty young. I think he's younger than 25, isn't he? I don't think he's 25 years old yet. But – so I think, and sometimes goalies take a little while to develop. The situation with the goaltending in Winnipeg is no good. But they have the guy they want to hand the ball to. They don't have anybody right now that's going to challenge him at all. So maybe that's what they can look to Markstrom to do, would be to at least challenge him a little bit, right? At least put a little bit of pressure on him. But, yeah, they're not great there. St. Louis. I don't know. What's their backup situation? I'm just trying to think off the top of my head.
They've got Elliott, and then they've got Jake Allen. They're not taking him.
Yeah. But still, not really any legitimate proven stuff happening there in net either. But, yeah, they've got they're set with their two guys. So, yeah, I mean, Winnipeg and Buffalo to me are a couple cities there where the goaltending is a huge question mark. So maybe one of those two cities, I guess. Winnipeg would make sense, though.
Yeah, that's really the only team that I could think of that I thought maybe, just based on A. Pavlik so inconsistent, and their backup is a guy who has a whopping 27 games of AHL and NHL experience. So
yeah,
that to me would be the big one.
He was just okay the other night too, hey?
Yeah, well, you saw the Nugent Hopkins goal, which is, you know,
yeah,
quick release, but he'd moved too far to his left, and then Nugent Hopkins, like, they had a great replay overview.
Yeah.
Nugent Hopkins' shot went past him into the net, and then his glove hand came up. Like, he just wasn't quick. Now, maybe it's preseason, he's not ready, but he just looked like he didn't have the quick reflexes to react to a shot that fast from an NHL player.
Yeah, and their starter, I mean, they don't have anything close to a legitimate NHL starter. And they have a guy who has had lots of opportunity, but hasn't really grabbed it. So it's not like they've got some guy who, oh, let's see what he can be if he's given a chance. They know. They're just hoping he'll be something different. And so it's definitely a crapshoot for them in net. And I look at that roster and, I mean, they got some good players. They got some decent young players and stuff, but their goaltending is so weak that's a tough way for them to start the season.
Ryan
Rashad might be worse goaltending than what the Oilers started with last year.
That's a fair point. Yeah, and I was well. Yeah, on paper, the Oilers goaltender shouldn't have been that bad coming off the season Dubnyk had the year before. But, man, like, I'm curious to see what he'll do in Arizona this year. Ryan Rashog from TSN joins us. The Eskimos against the Saskatchewan Rough Riders. Big crowd tonight. The Eskimos, let's start with their defense. The offense, we all know. They got to basically show up and catch the ball and then make the night reads. But their run defense has not been very good the last 3 weeks.
Yeah. And it's not – I mean, I think they've got good players in those positions. I think they've got the talent is there, but it just the numbers against haven't been great. So I think that – I don't know that they need to adjust a whole lot. I don't think they need to change a lot in the way of personnel. I don't know how you feel about it, but I think they've got the talent there. And it's just a matter of them playing better and their defense being the strength of their team again. And it'll definitely be a challenge for them here against the Riders. But that's what needs to change for them if they're going to be able to be one of the premier teams in the West, not just, you know, a second or third place team and then everybody else has separation from Calgary. So my point is I think they have the people they need to do it.
Well, yeah, they should, although Saskatchewan might be the most run-focused team in the CFL right now, especially with the injury to Durant. Like, you've got to be good at run defense.
Yeah. No, for sure. And that's why, I mean, they're going to be tested. They did a decent job against Cornish in the second game in the Calgary losses. The first game, they got run all over. I thought they did a better job against the best rusher in the league in the second game against Calgary. But this will be a challenge for them as well. And this is one of a couple of areas in their game where they got to get sorted out. And I mean, I like their linebacking core. I think that they've got a combination of athleticism, experience, and I don't know. I don't think they need to be changing a whole lot, I guess.
No, not so much defensively. Offensively, John White will add a lot to that team.
Yeah,
running
sure.
the ball, but they've got to get better production on first down. They can't be in second. They were in second and seven plus 17 times last game. That's just not good enough.
No, it's not. And White, you know, maybe he helps things out in that. I think his average is he's close to seven a touch, isn't he? His average running the ball.
Like yeah, he hasn't had a lot of carries, but you're right. When he does carry the ball,
so
he's good.
He gives them a little bit of a different look, right? Because like Mike Riley can run the ball. People know that. And he could back off defenses a little bit, but they don't have a legitimate run threat. And so you get into those second down situations where if you don't have anybody that can pound for four or five or six on first down, you just find yourself in a tough spot on second down and throwing all the time and you're predictable. And Bowman hasn't been great the last couple of outings. I think everyone expects him to bounce back, but they're without Shamad Chambers. So they need that element on offense. They need to be a little bit of a run threat outside Mike Riley. And I think they'll be able to do that this week with White back in.
Yeah, the funny thing about the Eskimos is if you went just on run average, Thomas is 5'7", Lawrence is 6'9", White 6'5", and Riley's 7'8". Like, either they don't run the ball enough, to me, or, you know what, they're 2 yards, 2 yards, 25 yards. You know what I mean? It seems that they don't have – and that's why I run average at times. I look at the Eskimos, and I broke it down. And in Thomas's case, he would get a lot of twos and threes and then bust a 14, right? So then suddenly now his average looks a lot higher than maybe it should be.
Yeah, it goes way up. But, yeah. I mean, all in all, it's how – it's the type of offense you're able to run based on the personnel you have and the look you give – the opposition. And to me, the look has been too similar for the Eskimos for a little while here because they haven't had that run threat outside of Mike Riley being able to rush the ball here and there now that he's healthy again. So I think it'll give everybody, there's a lot of talk about this offense hasn't been showing what it needs to show, but I think the potential is there for another dimension now, and we'll see how much they use it. I think they need to just go to it early and keep trying to go to it. Because it'll help them out in the long run. If they get that part of their game worked out, it helps them out in the long run and might be a little bit shaky to start, but I think they need to commit to it and not just keep throwing the ball over and over and over again.
Shogger, do you think Florida would pick up Markstrom?
Florida, what do they have behind Roberto? I'm trying to think. I'm not as familiar with every backup goalie in the league.
Like, man, that would be hilarious though if they did.
I'm just looking. Well, that's last year, Clemenson.
Yeah, I don't think they. I don't.
Who do they still have?
They've got Luongo, of course, and then the other backup they've got as Montoya went there, did he not? So yeah, maybe not.
Was it Montoya that went there?
Double check, but I'm pretty sure that he left Winnipeg to go to Florida. So I don't think they need a backup.
I think your initial instinct on Winnipeg is probably not too bad a guess, because they don't know if they have one NHL goalie, and what I do know is, I mean, they've only got one shot at it with their guys, so they don't have a backup that they're looking at going, well, you know, if it doesn't work out, then we can go with him, you know, and Markstrom at least maybe gives them the potential of a guy that can do that. And I'm just looking at Markstrom's cap hit too. What is he, 1.4?
Yeah.
Looks like roughly a $1.2 million on the cap. That's decent for a backup. So maybe, I guess we find out, what, tomorrow?
Well, it's 48 hours on waivers, is it not? Or is it 24? I can't remember.
I think it was just 24
last
year.
It's 24 now, okay. So, yeah, we'll find out tomorrow. But, yeah, Jets to me, I was looking through the other teams while we were chatting. I just can't see one that has as big a question marks in goal.
Yeah. What did you think of Ehlers the other night, by the way?
Okay player. He's got skill. He's too small right now. If I'm Winnipeg, I'm not rushing him. I, you know, he's a hell of a player, and you know he's just 18 years of age. Why wouldn't you? To me, when you look at Ehlers, if I'm every other team in the league, I look at Jordan Eberle and say, here you go, a guy who 2 years after he was drafted came into the NHL at 20, slight player, and you know what? Was able to jump in right away because he had two more years of strength and then smarts and maturity under his belt. I would lean there all day long if I was Winnipeg for him. They didn't rush Scheifele, so I see no reason for them to rush Ehlers.
Yeah, no, I agree with you, and I think that we talked to Shovel Day off in Penticton at the rookie tournament too, and I really got the sense from him that will be taking a really conservative approach, even with Morrissey too, right? I think they'll be very conservative with bringing these guys along. Everybody thinks because Trouba played that they're all guns a-blazing to bring these young guys in, but I don't think that's the case. I think they probably will let them marinate a little bit. That Lowry's interesting too, though.
Yeah, he plays kind of an abrasive game.
Big boy,
big boy, for sure. So, like, the Jets' top six, I think, are pretty set. They kind of got one opening in their bottom six last time I was looking at the roster. So, yeah, and that's why I just don't see Ehlers. There's no reason to rush a young kid like that. I just don't see the benefits long term.
Yeah, no, I agree with you, and I think that's the way that Chevy's probably going to end up going with it based on all the things he was saying.
I wonder if he ever makes an actual trade. Like, he makes Tambellini look decisive.
I know. And when you look at the turnover on their roster, it's basically the same team coming back. I mean, they've got Perreault down the middle, and maybe a couple of kids that step in here or there, but really, they didn't do anything. They didn't really change their team at all, other than the guys who left. I know he made the change at the head coaching position, but for that fan base, it's got to be getting. I mean, they need to, you know what, or get off the pot with Evander Kane. They got to make some decisions, and it almost looks like paralysis by overanalysis, which fans in this city know too much about.
Very true, Shogger. Have a good weekend.
Yeah, you too, buddy.